a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, everybody, to the House Local Government. We are now in session. Wanted to greet our internet listeners and say thank you for following us. One specific shout out to my husband, who I think is the only one that does listen to us. And then I get notes when I get home. Want to remind everybody to turn off their phones or their devices, any electrical device that goes off. In this committee, it is deemed by Madam Chairwoman that $50 will be donated to the USD Foundation. Yes, and that will be enforced. We'll go ahead and have Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Bruner.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hawks. Heineman.
Here.
Marty. Qualm.
Here.
Rosen.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tolson.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum with the majority of the members present. Elect. I would like to make a few comments. I'm very grateful for the chairmanship. But for those of you that are new, and this is possibly one of your first committees, I think it is our obligation as representatives to hold ourselves to a certain standard when we are in this committee process. Everybody deserves the opportunity to come to this committee and to have an unbiased reaction from committee members. So I would ask you, keep yourself in check, no shrugging or shaking of heads or making comments. South Dakota deserves that type of performance from us. All right, we're going to, since we don't have the move minutes, we're going to go ahead and let the pages come up and introduce themselves. Tell us where you're from. Oh, Paige, where you're from, and what you're planning to do with your life.
Hello, I am Emily Driesen. I'm from Madison, and I plan to go to the best college in South Dakota, USD. Mm-hmm. And I would like to major in political science and then go to law school. So, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started since we don't have any bills this morning, and also to let everybody in the room know that there are not any bills coming down the pipeline for Thursday, so we will not be having committee on Thursday. And we've invited a few people from the state of South Dakota to come up and have and speak to us. I would open the chair for anybody that would like to address the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the House Local Government Committee, this is an honor and a pleasure to sit on the other side to see such familiar faces that I've served with. And I have to honestly admit, I believe in the past 10 years, I don't believe I've ever served, or I don't think I ever testified in front of the House Local Government Committee when I was serving on your side. So my name is Chantel Krebs. I'm your Secretary of State for the state of South Dakota. And our Chairwoman Consett had asked me to join you today to give you an overview of what our office does. And she's allowing me and granting me, I believe, about 30 minutes. We'll give a brief overview of our different divisions and then allow that opportunity to answer any questions that you may have. And I'm looking forward to sharing some of the information. So we'll just plow through it. Madam Chair, may I proceed? Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, the Office of the Secretary of State, which I've been duly elected and honored to serve you, the state of South Dakota, really, I'm going to break it down into three divisions. Constitutionally, we are defined by as the Chief Elections Officer for the state of South Dakota, the official public records document keeper for the state of South Dakota, the official seal keeper of the state of South Dakota. But beyond that, there is so much more. And I think the general public and those that are sitting in the room today, even in a classroom setting, think of the Secretary of State that all they do is elections. And that's far from true. And so today I'm going to share with you the three other areas, should say the two other areas in my office and what they do. So I'm going to actually start out with administrative services, and I'm going to introduce my deputies in that area, in each area. So my deputy of Secretary of State for Administrative Services is Teresa Bray. Teresa? And she has a handout to share with you. In the administrative services area, I have four staff working with Deputy Bray, and that area oversees specifically fiscal management, the notaries, the apostille documents that come in, or I should say the apostilles and authentications, the trademarks, and the lobbyist registrations. The actual total revenue for the state of South Dakota coming into the general fund for the Secretary of State's office is around $6 million. And where does that money come from? It's from corporations filing fees, epistolary filing fees, notaries when they file, or I should say register, UCC filings. That gives you an idea. So about $6 million comes into the Secretary of State's office. That does and goes into, of course, the state's general fund. We do have federal monies, which is called and clarified and categorized as HAVA fund, which is the Help America Vote Act federal fund. So a majority of our budget in the Secretary of State's office is and under federal funds, utilizing and utilized for and in and under the election services. Going back to the administrative services, which Deputy Bray oversees, again, let's share some numbers on pistol permits. A lot of people do not know that we actually issue the card that's in your pocket, which I'm assuming several of you have in your wallet today. We issue that. Of course, it's verified and certified and approved by the sheriff in your county. You apply for it through the sheriff in your county. We then are submitted, the applications are submitted from the sheriff's office to our office, and then we turn around and issue them by state law within that 30-day time frame. And I'm proud to say that we're getting on top of that. We had in fiscal year 2014, I should say, the previous administration has added or renewed about 18,000 pistol permits. In fiscal year 2015, added and renewed is about 10,000. I want to share a statistic. I did take my oath of office early on January 2nd. Starting on January 2nd to current date, we have added and renewed over 1,000 pistol permits in those short 13 days. So that just gives you the number of volume of stacks of mail and the paperwork that's coming into the office. So we're very proud as South Dakotans and in this office specifically to issue those personal permits. We do have, and it says on your sheet that's been handed out, South Dakota has reciprocity with 26 other states, and Kansas will be actually adding to that list in South Dakota. So you can see the number of states that we recognize with personal permit carry permits. Let's go into the notaries public. When you want to become or want to apply to become a notaries public, that is sent in through our office. And you can see on the handout that we had for fiscal year 2014, 2,700 certifications for notaries public. So when you're, of course, circulating your petition and you need that notarized or any official document notarized, you can see the volume of certifications for notaries in the state of South Dakota. Apostilles and authentications. What is that? What's an apostille? You know, basically what an apostille is, or a document, excuse me, it's the object of, or I should say we in the office, we're certifying that that notary who says that the document that they need that had to be notarized is actually official. And this is typically and only in foreign situations. So a document that needs to be sent to another country, that would be considered an apostilles document. So, for example, an adoption certificate would be considered an apostille, in which we would authenticate that. The numbers there, you can see there's 425 apostilles and 187 authentications were issued for about a total of over 600 in 2014. Trademarks. Of course, trademarks come through our office. Trademarks, of course, if you are registering a trademark, there were 432 trademarks registered in 2014 fiscal year. And then last but not least, those famous lobbyists in the state of South Dakota. And that's a large number when you look at the lobbyist registrations. We do, of course, register them and, of course, verify their expense report as being complete so the public can see who is a lobbyist for which company. And that is public information that is on our Secretary of State's website. You can see that we had 331 private lobbyists and 334 public lobbyists for 2014, and a slight increase this year up to 422 private lobbyists for fiscal year 2015. Now, again, remember, that's duplicate names. So if one of those names you might recognize, Matt McCauley, for example, lobbyist, he's representing several of companies or several organizations or associations. So that's what makes the number quite large. And I would say, you know, somewhat construed or not accurate for the fact that we do have to accurately you know, make sure that it's attached to the company that he represents. So there's probably not that many lobbyists, physical bodies running around, but the companies that they represent is what we're registering. So that's the administrative services arm, and that's just one area, one of the three areas. I'm going to move into the next area, which is our business service division. I want to introduce my Deputy Secretary of State for Business Services, which is our former Speaker of the House, Tom Diedrich. Some of you may have served Tom, and Tom has a handout to go over our business service division. This is an area where I think very few people know that the Secretary of State, the office, handles. And I think part of it is because of the logistics of it, the location. Please stop down if you can sometime. You know where the lunch, the cafe is in the basement. They're around the corner and to your right. That's where corporations are and is located for the Secretary of State's office, is down in the basement. They've been there for a long time. It's not a pretty area. It's not a great office. We call they work in the dungeon. They're hard workers down there. And under that, and in that division, there's five of them. But that's where all the documents come in. And so let me give you an overview of the Business Service Division and what that area, the Office of Secretary of State, handles. That's the combination of all corporate filings and UCC filings is the majority of the gist of what that office handles, is all corporate filings in South Dakota. That includes all foreign and domestic filings. And of course, a foreign filing is anything or not that any company or any business that's not incorporated in South Dakota, but they do business in South Dakota. So then, of course, they're registered. We have about 150,000 150,000 corporate filings in South Dakota. Let me clarify that. There's 63,000 that are active to date. Now, that obviously, that number will change as our fiscal year proceeds. You may have heard me talk about one of my goals in our office is to grow the number of corporate filings in South Dakota. I've said that a lot. What does that mean? We, again, having about 150,000 corporate filings in South Dakota. Let's compare that to Delaware, who has well over of a million corporate filings in their state. For a state just a little larger than the state of South Dakota, that receives almost $855 million in revenue from those corporate filings. Again, comparing to South Dakota, we're sitting at about $150,000 and about $6 million in revenue. You can see the potential that the state of South Dakota has. And why would we want that? Obviously, the revenue fees. And why shouldn't we be able to compete with that? Because South Dakota has, as we know, a business-friendly environment, a business-friendly state. So our deputy, Deputy Tom Diedrich, he's already been meeting with the UJS, our Chief Justice, the law school. He'll be meeting with the governor this week, and we are forming our action plan, a subcommittee to move forward. We do feel this is going to be about an 18-month project, because to really put together a development of our corporate filings in South Dakota, we do probably need to work and focus on a corporate court system, so a special court system, much like a drug court, which would be and only handle corporate court cases. So we have a lot of work to do in that area, but we feel very confident that we can, and we now have a goal in the next 4 years of my term to increase that number of filings, which we hope, of course, will increase our revenues to our state, which, of course, that's general fund revenues. Remember, that could be $850 million that Delaware is getting into their general fund that South Dakota should be competing for. And not only on top of that, does that mean that the Procter & Gamble company is going to move to South Dakota? Not necessarily, but do they offer and have subsidiary or smaller offices and locations that could provide jobs? That is all things that we should have, and I want to have that discussion with. What does it take? Okay, let me just give you a few more numbers. We did have 733 new filings in December. So that's a significant number. We have had an increase in our filings in the state, and so we're seeing that trend already. But with that, we're going to have to see a change in our office staff, meaning the number of ladies or gentlemen that would be working there to help support the volume that would be coming in with that workload. It costs $150 to file for a new company or a new corporation. That's a domestic. If you're a foreign corporation, that's a $750 filing fee. So, of course, they do pay more if they're not incorporated in South Dakota but do business here. They pay $750. And then their annual fee to continue as a corporation in the state of South Dakota is a $50 annual renewal fee is what we would call that. Just to give you an idea of the number of volume of calls that we received downstairs in that basement, it's about 150 calls per day on average. Just asking questions. In an eight-hour period, the stack of paper is probably this high. I would say they're, 3 weeks behind on filings at this point when in about 3 weeks behind on corporate and about 2 months behind on UCC filings. And just to give you a number of the volume that we're, the number of documents, the papers, and the calls that they're managing with an office staff of about technically four people. So we really appreciate them. Going into UCC filings, that's the other part, the Uniform Commercial Code filings. That we have about 90,000 of those filings in South Dakota, and there's a, we do charge $25 for every filing of that. So that, again, goes into our general revenue, our general fund to the state of South Dakota. So that $6 million number I gave at the beginning, that's, again, all the corporate filings, fees, that UCC filing fee, those pistol permit fees that are coming into our state. I think I've wrapped it under Uniform Commercial Code. Let me just further explain that. Valbo is our gal that handles our Uniform Commercial Code filings, and she processes UCCs, anything from the railroad records management, or excuse me, the records, the deeds, the mortgages through that, any mechanics liens, the county registered deeds fixture filings, Internal Revenue Service documents, central filing system for the livestock mailings. You can just get an idea of what one lady handles in just the UCC filing alone. So it's a significant amount of paperwork and calls for her as well. I'm going to wrap up here, Madam Chair, if I may, just a few more minutes, and finalize our last division of the Secretary of State's office, the most common. I saved that for last because this is the one that you all think of course, is our Election Service Division. And then my Deputy of Secretary of State for Election Services is Kia Warren. Kia? And she has a handout as well. You may recognize her face. She'd served, of course, under Chris Nelson and Joyce Hazeltine. And I did forget to mention that our Deputy of Administrative Services, Teresa Bray, was a former Deputy Secretary of State under Secretary of State Chris Nelson. And then, of course, our Deputy Secretary for Business Services, is better well known as Mr. Speaker for the years that I served with him in the House for the 8 years. The Election Services staff has three on staff. And that's the one that you may see and hear the most about, probably, but just an overview of our election division. We do have a live web-based program. It's called the Total Vote System, which, of course, is a part of your ballot creation, the petition creation, the election night reporting, the election canvassing, and your statewide voter registration file, which you all love and enjoy and appreciate and utilize. That's probably the one that you're most familiar with. In the handout that Emily is sharing with you, you'll see some of the statewide active voter registration numbers by party as of January 18th, so just on Friday. So we have an up-to-date active number, and that number is and will be updated under our administration every month and is on our state website under elections. So if you ever wanted to see, you know, new numbers or updated numbers of the active voter registration list, that is available to the public on our website. I do have a little asterisk and star. You can see, of course, the party affiliations and then the active voters next to it. We do want to clarify that NPA, which means no party affiliation, and that is clarified in the box on the right-hand side, that when a voter writes no party affiliation, no party, no choice, none, nonpartisan, the line was either crossed off, the field is left blank in the choice of party on that voter registration form, that person then gets put into the NPA category, which means, again, no party affiliation. So it's so crucial that when they're filling out, and I think sometimes it may be a mistake that they just left it blank. So it's crucial to let your citizens know if they are asking you about voter registration forms to make sure that they fill out that line and clarify their party. And if they don't, this is where it would get categorized, as you can see. Under the Election Division, we also have the State Board of Elections, which is our nonpartisan board that has been appointed as a 7-member board. The Secretary of State, they have 2 members that are county auditors that are from different parties, as well as the other board members that are appointed by legislative leadership, which provides that party balance. So we do have Democrat representation and Republican representation as appointed by our legislative leadership. So we consider that our nonpartisan elections board, that I, as the Secretary of State, as Chief Elections Officer, should and will continue to do so, go to that board for approval of any election reform proposals that I'll have. And you'll see some coming your way in the next couple weeks. And that was held through the process of a hearing, State Board of Elections meeting, and that approval was again given by that State Board of Elections, and you'll see that language coming out with our Senate Bill 6789, I believe are the numbers, and you'll see them coming your way. Under the election division, they also, of course, administer the HAVA funds, or the Help America Vote Act funds, and oversees the grant funding process. So when a county needs to apply for maybe new equipment or a new ballot machine, a new reader, they can apply for that money, and then we would reimburse them for that equipment through the Help America Vote Act funds. Campaign finance, which is a reminder for you that they're due February 2nd. Just a reminder. We have some with today if you need a form. No, you don't? Okay. You could please stop down our office. I think a few of you have already submitted your campaign finance reports. Just to share with you, 523 active committees. Now, that seems like a lot. Why is that? Because that includes all candidates, your legislative candidates, your judicial candidates, any local county party committees. So we're 523 active committees. Of course, the Office of the Secretary of State and the Election Division, they're responsible for receiving, the verifying, and certifying any federal, statewide, judicial, legislative, water development district. Of course, that include more than one county, any Heartland Consumer Powers District, nominating petitions, and then, of course, our statewide initiative and referendum ballot questions. That all comes in to the Secretary of State's office to be filed, received, and certified, which we'll be talking about making some changes in that process with some of my election reform proposals. For numbers, again, you can see at the bottom, 310 candidate petitions in 2014, which, of course, again, includes the judicial nominees. And so those judicial petitions added up. When you look at statewide, there's a lot of judicial petitions that did come into the office. And then we had three ballot questions on the November 2014 general election ballot. Last but not least, the last few things is certifying those candidates and those ballot measures, and then that's certifying them to the county auditors, of course, to make sure that ballot is correctly and certified so that you as a representative, or excuse me, as a candidate is on the ballot with the correct name and the correct party affiliated with that. And then last but not least, we do provide the training or the education to our county auditors, the municipal finance officers, and school business managers on the election process. I do want to clarify that the Secretary of State's office does not have authority over local or school elections, but we do help train and educate them on the process of their elections. Many of them in the local elections or school board elections have them, of course, upcoming here even this February, March, and April. We will help them in that process. And then many of them have begun to see the benefits of combining with a primary election in June in an even-numbered year. Madam Chair, I think I've covered it. Did I stay within my time frame? I tried to. Members of the committee, my pleasure. I'm open to for questions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Any questions from the committee? Well, thank you so much for your time. It was very informative. And anybody else is welcome to come up, and there we go. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. And if I may distribute a handout.
I was a page in 1991, Yvonne, so I could technically have done that.
The new Secretary of State has been enough help to us already, so we don't expect her to do the handouts, too. As I said, Yvonne Taylor, I am the Executive Director of the South Dakota Municipal League. Most of the year, what we do is research and training of our municipal members, but during this 2 months, I get to come over here and work with you folks, and so you will be seeing a lot of me in front of this committee. We have 309 incorporated municipalities in South Dakota. They are just about all of them members of the Municipal League. I think our smallest member has about 10 people in it, and our largest, of course, is over 150,000, and we have everybody in between. We will be appearing in front of this committee this year on election issues, on the bid process and bid letting issues. Law enforcement is one of our things that we handle. Airports is something that you'll be seeing us talking about this year. And then just general governance issues like when people move in and out of a ward, it creates a vacancy. You'll see us with something on that. A bed check fee bill you're going to see us on this year. Special assessment process and just a range of issues that we consider to be kind of housekeeping types of items. The thing that you're going to see us probably making the most noise about this year, and it's the handout that's in front of you, is infrastructure needs. And, of course, that's going to be a hot topic all year long for you folks. But the point we're trying to make is that the municipal needs are literally much deeper than the surface of the street. We have those street needs on top, but we have everything underneath. And when you look at those costs, they're a little jaw-dropping sometimes. And then if you consider it, it is per block. So we don't even deal in the stretch of miles. This is per 400 feet. You'll see that there's a wide range of costs that are involved. A lot of that is because of the difference between east and west. If you have a lot of contractors, a lot of competition for the bids, that lowers the price. If you have fewer, that makes the prices generally a little higher. You are also seeing in the west a tremendous cost increase because they are competing with all of the folks up in North Dakota, sucking all of the contractors apparently out of South Dakota. And so the costs have really gotten steep in the west. And so that'll explain some of the variation that you see. We arrived at these numbers by getting them from various cities around the state from different sizes. So those are actual and real numbers that you have in front of you. You will see us with a bill that asks you to approve a local option 1 cent sales tax for infrastructure purposes only, and only with the approval of the local voters. And so that's going to be our kind of big drum that we'll be pounding this year. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions or stand by. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, we will move forward. Thanks so much for your time, Ms. Taylor. Oh, we have them in tandem. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bob Wilcox with South Dakota Counties.
And good morning. I'm Roger Tellinghusen on behalf of the South Dakota County Officials Association, which are the registers of deed, treasurers, and auditors.
My representation is both the county officials as well as the county commissioners. And just an FYI, approximately we have 322 county commissioners elected in South Dakota. They have the ability to have a 7-member board, a 5-member board, or a 3-member board. Currently, we have all 5-member boards except 4 of our counties do have 3 county commissioners. In a nutshell, where you're going to see us coming in front of you folks this year, the issues that we deal with at the county level every day. Our current priority right at this moment is our road and bridge infrastructure that we currently have on place, and so that's probably the position we're going to take during this legislative session to hopefully obtain additional funding to meet those needs at the end of this session.
And I'm happy to report that the County Officials Association don't have any legislation this year. We've come before you in years past with fee increases, and we've been welcomed and received well, I guess, in that regard. But this year we don't have any new legislation. We will take an interest in any bills that are proposed that affect the specific duties of the 3 constituents that I represent in my association: treasurers, registers of deeds, and county auditors. And be happy to answer any questions that you may have with respect to legislation that touches on those offices. So I'll be around the entire session. Thank you.
And I'd like to introduce the other members of our team. Deputy Director Chris Jacobson is in the back of the room. Her and I work on a daily basis out of our office just west of the Capitol. And another one of our members of our team is Lauren Pankratz. Many of you have seen him around the halls for a lot of years. He also is one of our contract lobbyists. So again, feel free to contact any one of the 4 of us on any of our issues, and we'll certainly look forward to being in front of this committee in the near future.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions? Seeing none, would anybody else like to come up into the microphone? Hello, Mr. Howard.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Dick Howard, and I'm representing the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. And some of you may wonder what a township is. There are 2 types of townships, Congress created townships back when we were moving west to Ohio and Indiana and that area. They needed some way to survey the land and be able to control when people were homesteading, that they would get a certain piece of property. They were called congressional townships. They eventually became political townships, and the townships provided the government service for schools and law enforcement and other things. Then the counties became more active in those types of local government. And townships now are basically the main responsibility is roads and bridges. On the handout, okay, kept a copy. The first sheet shows the number of townships in South Dakota. There are 911 of them. Each township is represented by a little square. If you see some little square boxes there, those little square boxes are mainly 6 miles by 6 miles a square. The ones that are purple are the ones that belong to our association. You can see most of the townships in South Dakota are located in the eastern third of the state, and there is a reason for that. You get out West River in the ranching area, there aren't very many roads on section lines anymore. So townships can unorganize by a simple procedure. I think it takes 15% of the registered voters can circulate a petition, and when that's done, it's put on the ballot with just one question: should this township dissolve? If the voters vote to dissolve the township, the township clerk packs up all of the papers, the money, the bills, everything, and delivers it over to the county auditor. So if townships dissolve, then counties become responsible for the roads, the township roads in those unorganized townships. You get in the eastern part of the state where there's still a lot of farming. There are a lot of section line roads. There are roads that provide a number of services, farm-to-market roads, the school buses, mail routes, access for hunters and fishermen, access to rural developments and residents. And so they serve an important function. The second page shows the number of townships within each county. And you can look at that and see how many townships are located within your districts. The next page lists all of the non-state highways in South Dakota, and they're broken down by administrative system. The first one is the county primary, and on the county primary there's about 24,000 miles. Townships have 31,300 miles. The county secondary, which is township roads in unorganized areas that become county secondary roads, there are 11,600 miles of secondary roads. Then city streets, as was mentioned, cities, their infrastructure is more than just the roads, but they have about a little over 4,000 miles of roads. They deal in blocks and other administration. There's 3,000, almost 4,000 miles. That would be the roads on the Indian reservations, Forest Service, Park Service, Game Fish and Parks, and other entities like that. So all told, on the non-state system, there's 74,725 miles of roads, of which townships have 31,300 of those. The last table in here shows the township revenues and expenditures. This is for fiscal year 2012. I didn't pull the more recent ones, but their revenue for the year was $38,800,000. It comes from various sources. The 14% of the motor vehicle fees, when you buy your license plate in your courthouse, 41.5% of that fee stays at the county level and is distributed among the county highway fund, townships, and cities. So the township share of that in fiscal year 2012 was $6.1 million. The other 58.5% of your license plate fee is sent to PIER. About 4.5% of it goes for administering the Department of Motor Vehicles, building the new license plates, and that type of thing. And so 54% is then distributed to counties, cities, and townships based on an apportionment factor that's actually in the statute. They were first developed in 1985 and have just been tweaked a little bit since then. Proration license fees, that's the commercial haulers, those who haul cross country. The portion percentage of the time or the miles that they travel in South Dakota, we get a portion of the license plate fee wherever they paid it. And those that have registered their vehicle in South Dakota, then the other states send us money based on the number of miles they travel in their state. The next big one is property taxes. And so if you take the $38 million, look down to the the third from the bottom in the revenues, there's $8.8 million of FEMA funds this particular year because we had a lot of flooding and damage in northeastern South Dakota, I think some in southeastern South Dakota. So if you take that $8.8 million off of the $38.8 of total revenues, which they don't always get $8 million of FEMA funds. The FEMA funds are the only federal funds that townships receive. But if you take that $8 million off, then that leaves $30 million of revenue that comes from license plate fees, property taxes, and these other miscellaneous items. Well, the property tax is almost $15 million, which is just about 50% of the revenue that townships receive. Their share of the property tax overall is pretty small. You can see here that it's about $15 million. That's about 1.5% of the total property tax that's collected for the state out of the $1 billion. Townships get $14, $15 million. Then you look at the expenditures, about 85% of their expenditures is for road maintenance, snow removal, road construction, etc. So about 85% of their expenditures go for roads and bridges. Some of them provide fire protection and ambulance service, but their main responsibility is roads and bridges. We will have a little bit of legislation this session. Our association, at their annual meeting, they adopt resolutions that on issues that they would like to have legislation prepared and passed on. So I work on that. I draft the legislation and do what I can to get it passed. But we have one that's going to give townships the authority to set their own speed limits. Right now, they can make a recommendation or a request to the county to raise or lower their speed limits. We're going to take that burden off of the counties and just let the townships go ahead and set their speed limits. They would notify the county of that action. As Bob and Yvonne both said, infrastructure and highway needs and financing is certainly our top issue for the session. Then we're going to have another one that deals with the levels of maintenance on township roads. So that will be our main legislation. Oh, there's one other one I forgot, that Representative Tolson for the last 2 years has proposed legislation that would allow townships to tax themselves up to 50 cents per $1,000 of evaluation for roads and bridges. And the way townships work, they're definitely grassroots level. All registered voters that come to the annual meeting get to vote, make motions, fully participate in the meeting. And one of the things they vote on every year is the tax levy, which will be assessed against their property. So any tax levy that is set by the Board of Supervisors is it's subject to vote of the people at the annual meeting. So what his would do would be to allow the people to vote to increase their tax by 50 cents per thousand. So we're going to be looking at that one again.
Well, thank you, sir. Any questions? Well, seeing none.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for testifying. Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Oh, comment, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a visiting class from, Representative Greenfield and myself want to. And the local government committee want to welcome the Castlewood government class here from Castlewood. So,
anybody else with anything for the betterment of the community? Well, thank you. I will entertain that motion again.
So moved.
It has been moved and seconded. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Craig and Representative Heineman seconded. The motion to adjourn has been moved and seconded. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.